Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas story. We pray that even this morning we might learn something new about you from the Christmas story and also about ourselves and about our world, that our lives would be little by little transformed and changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, it's my strong conviction that it's a really deep well of wonder, this Christmas child, God incarnate. It changes our life in so many ways to know that God became one of us for our rescue. Over the last 6 or 7 weeks at BAC, we've looked at different topics and the different ways in which God entering our world impacts our lives. Let me tell you some of the different topics we've looked at. We've seen that the incarnation is a revelation of God, that God is no longer hidden or not hidden, that he has shown us what he is like by becoming one of us in Jesus. The incarnation is also good because it's for our justification. That is, there's a perfect human, a perfect man, who has fulfilled every requirement of righteousness on our behalf. Jesus, our brother. And then therefore we can be declared righteous in him. That great weight is taken off our shoulders in the incarnation. A few weeks ago, Ben talked about how the incarnation is for our redemption or our liberation. In many and varied ways, by default, we're slaves to our sinful flesh, slaves to the world, and slaves to the devil. But Jesus is the rescuer, the liberator, the redeemer who sets us free, one of us. The incarnation of Jesus is for our sanctification. That is, in Jesus, we not just have a model to aspire to, but we can see where we're headed by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. You know, we're on God's conveyor belt. We're on God's transforming little by little, day by day. We're being made more like Christ. We can see in the incarnation what we are becoming in Christ. The incarnation is also the beginning of the Christian life, in that it's his birth was for our new birth. Jesus became one of us so that we could have our own nature changed and be made regenerate or born again. And the incarnation is just the beginning for Jesus. And at no point in the Bible does Jesus ever discard his human nature. So as Jesus is glorified through the work on the cross and then in his resurrection, and he ascends to the right hand of the Father, he takes his humanity with him. And in a way, that's the path that we're headed on. When we die and Christ returns, we'll be raised from the dead in glorious, transformed physical bodies, and we will be glorified as Christ has been. So all these are great goodies from Bethlehem. And today I want to look at one last little angle of this, and that is, what does the incarnation mean for the earth? What does it mean for the universe, for the creation? Let me give you a little bit of background about what I think is the wrong direction to head in here. Throughout the history of the world, in both world religions and in philosophies of the world, there's been this really common view that separates the physical from the spiritual. And in this sort of outlook, you see it way back in Plato and ancient Greek philosophy, but also in world religions, in strands of Buddhism, but also in strands of Christianity that sees the physical as sort of inherently inferior and the spiritual as superior. And so this approach, it's called like a dualism between the physical and the spiritual. And in this view, the point of the universe is to escape the universe. The point of being human is to almost escape being human, you know, and you have to transcend the physical and enter into the ethereal spiritual realm when you die. And if you have this worldview, this is why you'll meet Christians and other people who are very down on the body. They're down on marriage and sex. They're down even on eating and enjoying creation, and they're up on things like meditation and prayer and contemplation and, you know, that kind of thing. So even within Christianity, you have these monastic traditions. Through discipline and poverty, they try and transcend the body. But friends, this is not Christmas. This is not Christianity. By the way, you can see, I'm your best friend today because I know at home your fridges are full still of great food. This sermon is to like empower you to enjoy that food, okay? This is a, you know, God loves you to enjoy the creation. But the dualists have some good ammunition against us. They'll come and tell you, oh, but look at the world, it's so bad. There's so many bad physical things with the world. You know, they'll say, let's just try and get into their shoes. Why do they not like the physical? Well, they say, your tummy is physical. You want to fill your tummy. You take food from other people to fill your tummy. It creates conflict in the world. You want to be sexually satisfied in the body. You take someone else's wife or a future person's spouse, and that creates conflict in the world. You want physical security for your home or your family or your nation, and you exploit another family or another weaker nation. And so they actually argue that all the world's ills are from the physical plane. And, you know, all the vices are physical, they would say. And if you look around, there's actually, that carries some weight. Also, if you think about the fact that they would say the physical world, as you look at it, it's decaying. Our bodies are decaying. Every year we kind of get the sore backs, you know, this gets worse and worse and we get more frail. You know, our bodies are decaying. And so they say we need to transcend the physical because the physical is full of corrupt sort of rust and pain and decay. But against all that, friends, we've got to say, what about Bethlehem? There's a stable behind the inn, and there's a manger in the stable, and in that stable is a physical baby, and that baby is God. What does it say about the creation that God became part of it? The Creator entered the creation. Clearly it must mean that God is committed to matter, to stuff, to the physical. I mean, if you think about it, how could he not be? What's in the first chapter of the Bible? You know, God making stuff and calling it good. God cares about the creation. And even after human rebellion against God kind of broke the canvas and ripped it, God is still caring about, he's not giving up, he's caring for the physical creation. Throughout the Bible, as you read it and you see, especially the church letting God down every generation in the Bible, the people of God turning to idols and turning away from God, you think, is God ever going to give up on us and just start again? And at one level, it would be very easy for God to do that. If you are omnipotent, God could let all of us just pass away and in an instant begin a new universe and try again. But it seems that's not what God would ever do. Because of Bethlehem, we see God is eternally committed to the physical, to the creation. So friends, don't ever think, you know, in your own life, God's going to give up on me. You know, you see at Bethlehem, God will not give up. You know, if he won't give up on his creation, he won't give up on you and me. This is why we can't fall into those people who, Christian or not, say the physical bad, you know, the spiritual good. In Bethlehem, the physical and the spiritual are enmeshed forever. You know, therefore, go home today, get those Christmas leftovers and enjoy them. You know, that's the point of, part of the point of the incarnation. We do it right in Australia. We celebrate Christmas physically because it's an affirmation of the physical. So we eat lots of great food. We have backyard cricket. You know, we give each other a hug. You hug your mum or whatever. We sit in the sun. We enjoy our gardens. We take a nap. We celebrate bodily because it's God's affirmation of the body and of the physical. Just imagine if someone said, tried to be super spiritual yesterday or on Friday and say, they come to the big family celebration and they say, oh, I'm fasting, you know, I'm praying and fasting. It's just the wrong tune. It's just out of tune to the incarnation. We physically celebrate because God affirms the physical. But what will we do, friends, with the dualist who says, but what about all the suffering in the physical? You know, how do we deal with that? Our physical attachments are causing us grief and conflict and frustration. Surely we have to let go of the physical. Well, here we need to go to Romans 8. Let me reread you a little bit of what Paul said in Romans 8. Listen to how Paul addresses the physical creation. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time. So Paul doesn't deny the fact that there's a lot of pain in the physical, both in our bodies and in the physical world. But what he says is that God is actually working through that physical pain like a woman in childbirth, and it's going to produce a great sort of result. The creation will be liberated in the same way that the children of God will be liberated, that is, resurrection. And in fact, Paul says, not only does this hang on Jesus, it's hanging on the people of God being revealed, that God has the decaying creation, he's holding it going so more people can come to faith in Christ and enter into that eternal life. And then there will come a day where the labour pains will end and the old heavens and the old earth will pass away, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, if you like, a resurrected universe. Our universe will die, but it will be resurrected. So whether you like that metaphor or we like the metaphor of labour and childbirth, I think that's the same principle. What happened to Jesus in his incarnation, death and resurrection will happen to us who follow in his footsteps and have his spirit. We'll be raised perfect in Christ. And then what happens to us will also happen to the creation. It will die and be raised perfected, you know, in glory that comes from Christ. So friends, if you think about it, the physical has a very bright future. The earth has a very bright future. You know, we ought not to lose sleep. You know, are we so trashing the earth that it's just going to be wrecked for everyone? Well, I wouldn't fret too much, because in Christ it will be resurrected. It will be transformed just like our bodies are. Although some people might say, does that mean we have a license to trash the earth? Well, do you have a license to trash your body because the resurrection is coming? Is that a good thing? Is that a smart thing to do? You know, do you say, I've got a resurrection body coming in Christ, therefore I won't get medical help when I'm sick? That's not how you think. You care for the body more knowing that you're going to be resurrected. You honour your body more knowing that God's going to honour it in the resurrection. So I think of bodies, you know, I think we honour Christ by being as physically healthy as we can be, and therefore probably the same for the environment. I'd worry more about the people who think we have to escape the physical. They're the ones that are probably at more risk of saying, well, we're just going to discard the physical, therefore let's just sort of trash it on the way out. So we do want to care for the environment, but I guess what I'm saying is we ought not to fret as some fret about, I don't know, the atmosphere or something. You know, salvation is not in recycling. Salvation is in Christ. He will transform the whole earth. And therefore we ought to honour it as he's going to honour it. So anyway, that's my message for you today, friends. The physical is God-given and God-honoured in the incarnation of Christ. We are saved not just in a non-physical way, but in a physical way. The creation itself is getting caught up in the incarnation and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the matter itself matters to God. And so please, friends, keep loving Christ with all your mind, with all your soul, but love Christ with all your physical strength as well. Celebrate Christ, not just at Christmas, but every Lord's Day, physically and with great food and joy. Rest your bodies that you would serve him well. You know, keep loving God with every facet of your being. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we do honour you and thank you that you became one of us, not just to save us, but also to save the creation. And thank you, Jesus, for the creation we have. And we look forward to the labour pains being over and to the new birth of a new heavens and a new earth, of a resurrected universe. Dear Father, please help us to honour you with our lives in the physical world we live in, and we pray that we'll just be in wonder at the glory of Christ, that he has all things in hand. In Jesus' name, amen.